Boombang diggity. Put down them controllers, boys and girls. It's time for Broken Embargo.
That's a nice way to put it.
We have a pun. We have a tagline.
Yes, yes. It is another episode of Broken Embargo. Episode 63.
Ish.
It's the official count.
Ish. somewhere around there.
Dan, Caleb, Eric, we're all here. We're going to chat about things, I guess. We are reaching away from just video games.
We had a talk this week because I figure, you know, we have this segment that we sort of tack on the end where we're just like, well, anyone want to talk about anything else? And it's just sort of like, meh. And it's like, I felt like, what you've been playing? I don't play many new games that much anymore. I don't play new games
that
much anymore.
You don't play much anymore.
And, I mean, every once in a while, we sort of get, like, a drought period where, like, none of us are playing new games. And so I just figured, well, you know, I've been reading a book this week. I saw a movie. We could talk about that in the opening segment.
So, basically, Dan's going last because he has nothing to add to the conversation.
Hold the fuck on. It's about games. Jeez.
Gnomeo and Juliet?
Gnomeo and Juliet's not a...
it's totally about games.
Gnomeo and Juliet's
I like animated features as much as the next guy, but come on.
We'll get into it when we get into it.
Let's talk about Murgatroyd.
We gotta talk about Murgatroyd, because he...
He had some great comments.
Oh, I didn't even check it this morning.
You don't want... No, don't check it. We'll re-empty it.
No, I'm checking it. I'm looking.
So, he said, why did we call it crow? It's what for dinner? I don't remember talking about crows.
Because you said I was going to eat crow after the bet. Because that we also have to talk about the bet.
Which, that's true. No, we're going to talk about that right now.
No, we're going to talk about Murgatroyd first. We'll get to that.
At the end?
Murgatroyd right. First.
So, I don't remember talking about eating crows. But anyway, I like Feel the Magic for the first 20 minutes. When did we talk about that?
I know, what the heck? Oh, we were probably referring to launch games for the DS.
We were talking about the comparison between 3DS and NGP, and then we went back to the launches of PSP and DS, yeah. And one of the launch titles was Feel the Magic.
Oh, well, I didn't even get a DS at launch. I didn't. Now, see, that's the thing, is I got a PSP right away, but I didn't get a DS until DS Lite.
Yeah, same here.
I got a DS at launch.
I didn't like the big ones. I thought that they were too big and bulky, and then they came out with the light, and I really liked them.
Yeah, my sister had a big one, and she got a DSi.
There are people still rocking the big ones.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
They're crazy, man.
I've never seen them at PAX.
They look like relics.
Yeah, they do. Like, they look more old school than, like, a Game Boy.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was what I was going to say. It looks sort of like the original Game Boy.
let's see. DS and Wi-Fi equals feasible smet. Yeah, I guess.
You can do it.
Know.
I played Street Fighter on my iPod Touch this week.
Well,
you can do Smash Brothers.
No, I get that, but it's like Smash Brothers seemed to be more of like a group game.
Like
I don't
in
know.
The same room.
Yeah, like I don't know that I'd have as much fun playing Smash Brothers with somebody across the country as I would with like somebody sitting next to me on the couch.
Mm. I think that's the same with any fighting game.
You can still do that.
Yeah,
you can still do that with 3DS, because like, a local connection is always going to be better. And not only that, but you know, nobody plays Wi-Fi Smash Brothers Brawl because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Wi-Fi would be fixed up for this.
Did Brawl even have Wi-Fi?
Yes, it did.
News to me. You heard it here first, folks.
Are you serious?
Brawl?
Are
you kidding me?
I didn't know that, no.
That was like, one of the main selling points, and then it failed.
Huh. Yep. I thought it had Sonic. That was a big thing. I doubt I'll make the effort, but I'll let you know if I find evidence of Caleb's obvious racism.
Thank you.
It's there. It's pretty
it's
evident.
There.
They didn't get tired of Minecraft, Caleb. They just got tired of your shit. That was mean. I'm sorry. You know what? No, fuck it. You're a monster.
That is mean.
That was three separate comments.
Yeah.
So yeah. Those were three separate thoughts.
That was mean. I'm sorry. No, you know what? Fuck it. You're a monster, Caleb.
Yeah, well, no. Dan's more of a monster. He's like, you're approved for the server. I asked for the server info. He never sends it to me.
Well, that's because I want to do it with you at the same time.
That's because Dan's never on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. It bugs me so much because I'm always on my computer. So, like, you can get a hold of me on Twitter faster than you can on my phone.
And, like, do you make a point to be not on Twitter? Because you had one that was like, I wasn't planning on tweeting today, but Guitar Hero's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. I'm pretty sure there was a good reason for that.
We can never get a hold
of
you through
Twitter.
I was,
like, trying to stay offline. But no, like, whenever I go on to see, you're not on Skype. That's the main way I try to get
a hold
of you. No,
I'm never on Skype. I'm on Google Talk and Twitter.
I always assume you're on Skype, because you're always on Skype when I used to be on.
He's on Skype, but, like, he's never there.
Yeah, no, my Skype...
It must be, like, your home computer,
my Skype is usually on my home computer. Every once in a while, I'll turn it on at work. But not that often.
I want to walk you through it, because in order to get into the server, you need to download a client.
Okay.
That just runs in the background.
Okay.
You know, collects all your banking information.
Right?
No!
Speaking of which, well, no, I'll talk about it later. Meh, I wasn't too keen on Game Journal's story, but that could be because I don't like one of the guys involved. Total dick.
That can totally ruin a game. Like, if you don't like the people who made it.
I guess that kind of dooms your game, huh?
Well, yeah, but I mean, technically you're supposed to be able to pull yourself out of a review and not think about who's in it. And
well, what if I'm not reviewing it? Like, Murgatroyd
Game
Journal's story. You know,
that's perfectly fine, but I mean...
Wait, did he talk about Game Journal or Game Dev?
Game Journal.
Oh, Journo. Oh, that's... Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. This is some weird thing I just brought up. So. I'm too old for your pop culture references. I'm just not hip enough to know what Katy Perry and World Hunger are.
How is that even...
Because Dan was saying...
Yeah, no.
Katy Perry.
I didn't listen to the episode. I don't know how that was kept around.
Well, that was during the break, and that got cut.
Yeah.
But then... Eric started humming it.
Was that it?
When we came back from the break,
that happens. You know what I had stuck in my head for like 2 days?
What?
Reading Rainbow Song.
You tweeted it. I'm like,
I did. Did anybody get? Nobody said anything about it too.
I was too busy.
Butterfly,
sorry.
In the sky.
I would have finished the lyrics for you or something, but.
Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
That was like five different notes. Okay.
I miss LeVar Burton.
He's on Twitter. You can follow him.
No, I do follow him. I'm just saying I miss reading Rainbow, LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The cut of LeVar Burton.
I'm like, what? It got cut because they wanted people... what was it? I remember what it was. It was stupid. Oh, it was they wanted kids to learn how to read, not why to read.
Lame.
So they stopped giving it money.
That's
dumb.
That is dumb.
Yeah, that is dumb.
Why you should read goes hand in hand with how to read. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember watching Reading Rainbow all the time when I was a kid.
Goddamn
butterfly in the sky.
Let's go on. Come on, keep it going.
I can go twice as high. Not that it matters, but in Ballistic's defense, Angry Birds isn't even remotely original. It's fun, yes, but games like that have been out for years. Soon enough, it'll be its own subgenre, like Match 3 or Hidden Game Objects. And you know, it's true, and I didn't even think of that last week, because every time I turn on Angry Birds, I get that thought, like, wow, this is, you know... Because... Oh, what was the old one? Like, Bowman?
Bowman was like, yeah, one of
Bowman.
The original. Bowman and, I mean, Smash the Castle.
Yeah.
I mean,
Or like, even all them stupid, like, beat the penguin, you know, distance games.
Can be kind of considered the same thing.
Isn't it bad? Like, that's a, like, you whippersnappers, we had Bowman on the Flash games.
Bowman. Then you got Bowman 2, and things just got out of control. There was, like, a few of them, and they were all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bowman 2 added a wall. You have to shoot your bow over a wall.
Exactly. That was a big solid point of Bowman 2.
Yeah. Hey, can I have the cupcakes that Dan doesn't win? Yeah.
I think I'm going to eat them.
You're going to eat them anyway. You're going to be like, even if by like some remote chance he does win, it's going to be like, oh, so Caleb, where are my cupcakes? Mm. They're on their way.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to send cupcakes. I have no idea how to send cupcakes.
I'll send Murgatroyd cupcakes.
I'll send you a cupcake mix.
A cupcake mix. That's so great, Caleb.
Yeah, and then I was slightly harsh to Angry Birds for no reason. It has its own charm that isn't typically seen in these sorts of games. It still doesn't do anything new, though.
Yeah, no, I think that's the key, is it charming and it was on a device that wasn't saturated yet.
Yeah.
Is it bad that I haven't played Angry Birds in forever?
No, I haven't either.
I haven't even beat Angry Birds, so...
Exactly. Every once in a while, I just started playing Cut the Rope again because they made Valentine's Day levels, and that's...
I have to...
Did anybody check out that Rio thing?
Yes, that's so fucking dumb. Like,
what is it? I don't even know what it is.
It's based on
a
movie.
So what they did was... Yeah,
I know it's based on a movie. I'm just wondering what the secret code thing did.
Rio is an animated movie coming out where in the trailer during the Super Bowl, there was like... If you looked really quick when like a bird fell over on the back in a crate, like there was the Angry Birds and then 13-12. If you went to level 13-12 and you wasted the yellow bird and then you fired the chicken bird backwards and launched the egg, you would get a football level. And the football level was essentially just, you know, the word Rio spelled out with crates and glass and stones and like the pigs. It was basically just, you know...
Marketing.
Yeah. They're coming out with like, you know, an Angry Birds Seasons sort of game where it's like a full game with levels called Angry Bird Rio because the Angry Birds are in Rio.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that was pretty dumb. Cut the Rope just came out with some levels that are really, really good.
My problem with Cut the Rope is I have to I mean, it's only a buck, but I have to rebuy it because...
Why do you have to rebuy it?
I didn't sync it with my iTunes.
Oh, that's not cool.
And it got deleted, and iTunes doesn't like to keep a history of my transactions that I know of, that I can find.
Really? Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. You should be able to download it. It'll say, like, buy it, but as soon as you download it, it'll say you've already downloaded
it.
Okay. If you want to take a look at your transactions, all you got to do is log into iTunes on your computer and in the store, click on your account name.
Okay.
And then just go into your account and there's, you know, view my previous purchases.
All right, I'll have to get that because, I mean, the winter stuff was free, so I downloaded that, the Christmas one.
Yeah, the winter one was free. They added a Valentine's Day box, which is, like, the way it works is that the candy is split in half into, like, two heart-shaped pieces. And you have to, like, get the candy to unite before you feed it to them.
Huh. That's cool. I like Cut the Rope. Yeah. It was a fun game.
I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
This is going to happen all episode.
Can't go anywhere.
Okay. Okay.
So I feel like now I should apologize to people if you heard a message that said that we reached our quota. Because apparently there are 42 of you that heard that message. And for that, we're sorry. We reached our bandwidth quota. Apparently the show got a little too popular for our own good. And so everything's fine now.
In which case, I want to know who the frick is listening to us.
Yeah, right?
Well, that's another thing. That's also something I'd like to point out, is that now on the Podomatic page, if you go to unnamedgaming.podomatic.com, there's a button on the right side that says "I want more." If you don't want to comment, if you don't want to put in the effort to write a sentence, then you could just click that button, and it'll send. And I just checked the email the other day.
Yeah.
Like I don't check it that often. I check it every few weeks. There were tons of, you know, "I want more"s notifications in that.
Really?
So all you gotta do is just click that button.
And they're not like. Does it say who sent it? Is it like spam?
That's what I'm wondering. If it's like spiders and stuff, I want to know these are real people.
Like, are they them? Stupid Chinese downloads again?
No, it's not Chinese. It's not Chinese.
Like the 40 downloads we get from China?
The sweatshop
exactly. It's all
downloads?
It's all from America and Europe. So
there's actually people.
Maybe it's
listening
to maybe
the
it's this
wow.
cross promotion between Start Select Talk.
Yeah. That could be it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway, so that's that.
gonna fly in the sky.
Look, Eric, this is gonna go on all episodes.
It just might. It's stuck in my head again. It's bad. Right on. Well, you know, we need more people. God, this bugs me now.
What? That people, like, you don't know who they are?
No, like, we have so many people listening to the show, and we still have one person that comments on it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you want to be like Murgatroyd, you can comment on the episodes, and we are going to get a site in up by the end of spring.
By the end of eventually. Yeah. We'll just change that to eventually.
I've learned that I hate HTML and CSS, so if you want to put it together, feel free.
Wow, okay, Mr. Owl. Yeah, I'm all gung-ho about it.
I'm getting my site done, but that's as far as I'm going.
Wow, thanks, ass. Well, we'll have something up where it'll be a full, you know, fledged thing, and we'll still have, you know, just sort of like a guest book almost sort of thing. So anyways,
no guest
that's
books.
Coming later, but for
guest
now...
Guest book, we know all that works out.
Not like a guest book, I meant like a contact form that's very, like, simple.
Mm.
Like a very simple contact form,
yeah.
Which is sort of like name, comment, send. But if you did want to comment like Murgatroyd and have your stuff read, just email or comment on unnamedgaming.podomatic.com. Now I feel like we should go into our first segment, which is what we've done this week.
What we've been doing.
What we've been doing.
Yeah, that's weird.
I'm going to go first.
Oh,
why?
Because we waited a day to record the episode for why.
So that's true. Because I went out and I got a PlayStation Move.
Yeah.
What?
With a navigation controller?
No.
Oh.
And I'm going to have to, though, because of my left-handedness.
Oh, yeah.
Because the workaround for most people that aren't left-handed, fuckers, you can just hold the controller.
Yeah.
And it's not too hard to do that, you know? You can just and use the left stick and the D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
But, I didn't get the navigation controller. I'll get that soon, but I did get two of the Move controller.
So did you get it
Prime?
Did you get it with Sports Champions or?
Yeah, I got Sports Champions, and then I just got an extra controller, and then I got Dead Space 2, which comes with Dead Space Extraction.
I just installed Extraction today. I have not yet played it.
It's fun, you know. It's good. Like, I don't know how much better it looks compared to the Wii.
Yeah.
But, like, even though it's on rails, it's still pretty fun. Like, you don't move at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, I had fun with it. So, but I like the Move. I do. I think I would like it better than I would like Kinect.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
It feels
good. It just, like, when you're playing a game, it just feels better to have a controller in your hand to do other things.
Have you played Kinect?
No, I haven't. And it's speculation, but it's what I feel. Plus, I think that the Move has way more legs than the Kinect is right now.
Because
the only thing that's come out for the Kinect lately seems to be Brain Age Kinect.
Yeah, that's what they've got.
I saw that. It's like Dr. Kawashima.
Yeah. And it's like, whereas the Move doesn't even need to release, like, Move-specific games, although it has Move-specific games, there's, like, everything else that has Move support, like Killzone 3, Mag, and just Dead Space Extraction, you know, all
Remember
these things.
Remember 6-axis support?
Yeah, but this is actually better than 6-axis support.
Have you played Killzone 3 with the Move yet?
I tried it. That's why I need the navigation controller.
Yeah. The thing about that I found, I was playing a match this morning, and you know, when you're playing with a controller, you're always going down, look down the sights mode, you know. With the Move, I don't feel like I have to do that. I feel like I have a lot more control over it.
Is there even a button to do that? Because I was trying to do that and I couldn't.
It's L1. If you have it in the,
I must have to remap the controls or something.
The standard controls is right-clicking on the right stick to go in. The alternate controls is press the L1. With the Move controller, for some reason, it's a toggle and not a hold down like it is on the controller. But I think you can change that. But I finally found it, and then I realized I shoot better without it most times. And I mean, it feels really smooth on Killzone 3.
Oh, like, yeah. And there's different things you can do to customize it, like the dead zones around where you're going to aim, mm-hmm. and sensitivity to the motion, and different things like that help out how you play.
Yeah, and then I realized as I was sitting there playing that I don't have to be pointing at the screen after I calibrate it. That was the really weird part. Like, I didn't have to be pointing exactly, you know, like on the Wii, you feel like you always have to be pointing at the screen. If you're not pointing at it, then, mm-hmm. you know, I had actually at one point my hand resting next to my legs and wasn't pointing at the screen. It was like on the side, and it was still working really good. And like, it wasn't tiring on my arms like a Wii game is, where I have to point at the screen all the time. So I don't know what exactly they were doing there with that. But I want to play around with it a little bit more.
I was trying it out, and I was standing up because I figured, you know, you have to be in view of the camera.
Yeah. Well, my camera was about 2 feet above where I was pointing it originally, and I thought, oh, it's not going to be able to pick this up. And then I just, like, as the match was going on, I was getting more and more comfortable, like, putting my arms down and stuff and realizing the limits of it, and it was a lot wider than, like, the Wii. So I think for first-person shooters, it's actually really cool. Like, I wish Bulletstorm had that. I'm probably going to end up getting Bulletstorm on the PC, though.
Yeah, I don't... Just, like, if it's... It seems like right now, if it's PS3 exclusive, if it can have it, it probably will.
Yeah.
But I don't see things like Bulletstorm getting it. Maybe in the future, it can have, like, a patch, if they feel like it, but I don't think... Cliffy B feels like it. He didn't really like. He doesn't seem to like PS3 much.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Like he seems to be a Microsoft boy through and through.
Well, then Unreal Tournament 3 on the PS3 is like 10 times better than on the 360.
True. I don't know, but yeah, I got that, which. I like it. I mean, even just the Sports Champions game, which, you know, has a few things from, like, Wii Sports. Like, it's got archery and ping pong, but I think that they play way better on the move than they do on the Wii. Except for the archery one, because I can't seem to get the two motion controller.
Probably knocking it too high. That's what we were always doing. You knock it too high, because where you knock it determines where your aim starts. So you have to knock
it
low. That must
be it.
Because like, I watch other people play it. They knock it up by their nose, and then they have to point like a foot over their head to even get the aim
up. Well, because it's like that's what the thing does in training. Like, the guy has the thing pointed straight up.
Yeah, yeah. But in the motion, if you reach back, grab it, and knock it down by your waist, then you'll be better off. And it's a lot more fun that way.
Yeah, because like, the one is just like, it's nothing. I mean, it's literally you reach back, you grab an arrow, and you point at the screen.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's fun. Like, I was doing the gladiator duel.
Gladiator duel. Duel gets intense once you figure it out.
Yeah.
Especially against other people.
Ping pong is really fun. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I think it controls a lot better than the Wii, and I think that I have more fun with it than I would have with the Kinect.
Yeah, my favorite is disc golf. Have you played that at all?
I was trying to go through the training. I can't curve my shots for shit.
We actually went out and played actual disc golf the other day, and yeah, there's a lot of difference in getting the same distance.
Yeah. So I got that, and then I got Dead Space 2 finally. I've been meaning to pick that up. And I think, at least starting out, it seems like it's a lot more intense than the original one was.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not... Like, I mean, there's those moments where, like, I jump, but, I mean, I'm not like Dan, where it's like I have to be with people and in bright rooms to play it.
Which reminds me, I did actually beat Dead Space OS.
Oh, yeah. Well, my issue with it, and this comes from this was my opinion on it, and Benway tweeted the link of the makers of Amnesia. He wrote up a thing on it. He's got like the same points that I have with it is, you know, you start that game out and you're immediately thrust into a situation where if you take the wrong turn, you die instantaneously. And it just completely rips you out of the experience.
Yeah.
Like, you get so immersed in it, and then you're running down this hall, and you don't know which way to go at a T-intersection, because it doesn't give you much of a guidance, and you get gibbed by a necromorph, and you're, like, looking at a loading screen for 15 seconds. You're like, okay, this isn't horror. I'm not immersed in this anymore.
No. I don't, like, it's a scary game, but it's hard to, like, that's the thing. It's, like, hard to say that it's horror anymore.
It's more thriller.
Yeah, it's action. It's third-person action, which
so
is the same as like Gears of War. But no, I mean, it's a great game, and the physical intensity of it at the end is draining. But so it's worth playing.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even played that much. I can only play for like, you know, an hour or so before I have to put it down, just because like that, like your adrenaline just gets kind of pumping when you're playing it.
Yeah,
because everything's just gets so intense, and you're just like wore out after a couple of waves of enemies come at you.
Yeah, there's some times where it seems like it never ends too.
Yeah, so but yeah, that's a fun game. And then I got to try out Dungeons. I don't know if we talked about this.
Oh, that demo, that's actually live now, isn't it?
Well, it's on File Planet. I didn't get it off of Steam. Steam, I don't know if it has it now.
I'm pretty sure it does.
But when I checked, it didn't have the demos for it. Nope, it still doesn't.
Really?
Yeah. So Dungeons is, well, what the trailer shows is it's like you're this dungeon lord, and you're in charge of this dungeon. And so you're supposed to allow heroes to come in, and then basically they're supposed to get their fill of the dungeon, and then you're supposed to kill them before they leave. And the demo, it like the game itself is kind of weird. At first, it has this WoW-like setup where you're basically just kind of going through the dungeon corridors, and then you finally get into this overhead view, and I mean, I guess because I haven't played far enough into the demo to find out, but the demo starts you off in a pre-made dungeon under the control of somebody else, and so you're supposed to take back control of this dungeon, and how that happens is you place these pentagrams that spawn monsters. And you place these all around the thing, and then you get to the hero gate, and it opens it up, and you're supposed to let heroes in, and they're supposed to go for like the treasure or whatever they want, and fill this gauge as to how satisfied they are. And then before they leave, you're supposed to stop them and kill them somehow. But the only way I've been able to do that is with the dungeon lord. Like, he's supposed to run through the corridors and catch him before he leaves. And it's really, like, I don't know if I'm just not playing it right, but it's, like, it's hard to do because he'll come, like, the hero will come in, and if there's monsters in front of the door, he'll take out the monsters. And then he'll go and, you know, pick at some treasure and get satisfied enough to where he wants to leave, and then as he starts to leave, you know, like, the monsters don't spawn back quick enough to stop him. Before, you know, the dungeon lord can get there to take him out, and it's weird. I think I need to play more, but the game itself is, like, $40, so I don't want to jump into the game before finishing this demo.
Yeah, I wanted to try out the demo on Steam because it looks like an interesting mechanic, but I've never played any of those like build your lair kind of games.
Yeah, and that's what I thought it was going to be. It was like this mix between like Age of Empires and SimCity or something, you know, Like, you lay out your dungeon and you have your monsters all around and you know, all right, let the heroes come in. And it kind of is, but it's different from what I thought it was going to be.
Is it more like a tower defense in that sense then, or?
No. I mean, kind of. I mean, so far the monsters, all they seem to be doing is slowing down the hero.
Mm.
Like, they don't seem to be... I can't send them after a hero. They just seem to spawn around this pentagram. And then, I'm not sure if I'm just not doing something right or I haven't... Because it's one of those demos that gives you your skills as you go along. So maybe there's just something I haven't gotten yet that makes it a little easier.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to play through more of it to find out if it's worth it or not. Other than that, I got two games from Gameplan that just weren't that great. I finally got Resonance of Fate. I was talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, and I tried to play it, and it's just, it's really complex for what it tries to be.
Mm.
It's complex and kind of lo-fi at the same time. Like, instead of having like a open world kind of map, you have this hex grid that you kind of move along, and then there's random encounters where you're in these battles, and the only things you have are guns, and the problem with it is that it's all live action, with except that you can only control one member of your party at a time.
Yeah.
So while you're controlling your one guy, all the enemies are moving and attacking, and the other two members of your party are just standing there.
Hmm. I don't remember that in the demo.
It makes it impossible.
What kind of game is Resonance of Fate?
Oh, jeez.
It's JRPG.
Yeah.
JRPG.
Okay. At its base, it's JRPG.
Yeah. But just from the name, I was just like, JRPG.
Yeah, it's a different kind of game, though.
I like JRPGs, though.
I do.
I think it could be good if it was a little different, but the way it's set up, like, I just couldn't get into it, and I ended up sending it back.
It reminded me a lot of Valkyrie Profile, by the looks of, like, stuff, because it's bound by the same people.
It's those people, yeah.
Better or worse than Infinite Undiscovered?
Oh, jeez. Is that even a question, like, a valid question? There's only one answer to that.
Honestly, I don't know, because I didn't play enough to get into it.
I remember liking Infinite.
Yeah, no, I remember you liking Infinite Discovery.
You liked Infinite. Yeah, you beat it, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I got to a point where I was just like, okay, fuck it.
Well, you played a lot more than we did.
Yeah, no.
I played a lot more than you did. I played a lot of Eternal Sonata, too. That was a good one.
Oh, Eternal Sonata's good. I just don't have the time to play it. It sucks.
And then I got...
Is it just me, or did Caleb's audio quality go straight to the shitter?
Hmm?
I don't know. I haven't noticed.
It's fine on Audacity.
Okay.
There you go. So then, do you guys read Three Panel Soul?
No. Nope.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, it's this webcomic that it came off of this guy was making this other webcomic, and then he made I think it was while they were in college, and then they graduated college, so now they're doing this. It's supposed to be like their, well, I don't know what it is, but it used to be like three a week, and then it was like one a week, and now it's like one whenever they feel like it.
Hmm.
But they talked about this game called, what was it, Dokapon Kingdom. And they talked about it where it was like this game where you make a character and it was like, oh, I went out one day and I was fighting these monsters and I caught these fish and I did this and then somebody came out of nowhere and beat the crap out of me and ran off. And I'm like, sweet, that sounds like a game I want to try out. So I get this game and it's like Mario Party meets a fantasy game.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah. And that's being, like, really generous. And I guess because I didn't... maybe if I played it with other people it might be fun, but I didn't have any fun with it. It's, So it's 1 to 4 people, and it literally is. It's like Mario Party.
And what platform is this?
PS2.
Okay. Oh, I remember seeing that.
And it's, you start out, and you're supposed to, there's a story mode, and then there's, like, a normal mode. I assume it's just, like a normal board type mode, but the story mode's kind of bigger, and you're supposed to defeat all these monsters in the kingdom so that the king can get all of his money back from the towns, because he's broke because none of the towns are paying their taxes.
Well, of course.
So, you know, absurd little things like that. So you basically go on, and there's, you know, different points on the board, and there's points where you can loot a weapon, there's points where you can loot skills, and then there's regular points where basically if you land on it, you have to fight a monster. And that's basically done as like a kind of a mix between dice rolling and rock, paper, scissors. Where like you pick something, the monster picks something, and then you fight based on that, and then you have skill points and everything that come into play based on what you have equipped and how much strength and whatnot you have. And I assume that the end point of it is once whoever beats all the monsters or is the last one standing wins. And, you know, I guess it's kind of fun, but I don't know. I got over the Mario Party stuff pretty quick and...
Do you remember when Mario Party was good?
Like the first one?
Like N64 days.
Oh, yeah.
Got a couple
Mario Party 1, 2, and 3 were incredible.
They're incredible and incredibly hard, too.
Oh, yeah. And Mario Party 4 was okay. And then 5 and 6 just went right to shit.
Mario Party DS is fun, I think.
It is really fun, yeah.
Really? I do not believe you.
Yeah, it plays... I mean, it's just like Mario Party on the DS and the touchscreen games and stuff. It's a good one.
I remember when they tried to do Mario Party Advance, and that was shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, that was right around the time of, like, Super Mario Pinball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pokemon Pinball's
good. Heck out of that. Yeah, I remember that. But, yeah. So, I wanted to at least try it out because Three Panel Souls, the same way I found out about Dwarf Fortress. And I had fun with Dwarf Fortress, but I still have yet to figure out how to play it.
Yeah.
And eventually I'll get back to that and try and figure it out because it was a lot of fun.
It's just weird.
Caleb?
Yep.
Did you ever play Metroid Prime Pinball?
Oh, only, like, the demo on the DS.
You need to find a copy of that, because that is a fantastic Nintendo pinball game.
Yeah.
I still have my copy. I'm never going to give it away.
I remember... Like that, I remember the demo I played.
It is seriously good. There's only, like, 2 or 3 boards in the whole game, but that's all you need, because the boards are so good.
Yeah.
How many was there in Pokemon Pinball?
I don't even remember.
There was only, like, 2 in there, wasn't it?
There was red board and blue board. And that, but then, like, it would evolve, and, like, you'd go to the Safari Zone board, or, like, you know, the Cerulean Cave board to fight Mewtwo, or, like, you know, Lavender Town. And you could catch different Pokemon depending on what board you ended up on.
Those were fun ones.
Yeah.
I remember I played the heck out of that game.
The original Pokemon Pinball was good. Ruby Sapphire Pinball was pretty good, too. It wasn't as, you know, fun, though.
I didn't even know that they came out.
I didn't either.
They did. It was for GBA.
Huh.
I only played the one. Where the hell is this one? I'm trying to find the comic that explains it because... Oh, here we go.
I'll include it in the notes.
Yeah. Well, because, like, the comic makes it sound like a cool game. But I can't...
Well, it did sound pretty interesting when you were describing it. At first I was just sort of like, what?
Well, no, like, it sounds like a completely... different game than what I described.
Oh, yeah, like, what you described, Mario Party Pinball, not Mario Party
here
Pinball, Mario Party...
Here. Where's the chat?
Alrighty, then.
Next? Who's next?
Yeah. So,
do you want to go next, Caleb, or I'll go next? I mean, makes a difference to me.
So this week I finally broke down and got PlayStation Plus. Yeah, I'm going. I'm taking this. I got PlayStation Plus. I haven't canceled my Xbox Live yet.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'll talk about it when you talk
You got PlayStation Plus too. I still don't know if I convinced you to do that or what, because that conversation on Google Talk that night was kind of confusing to me. But
oh no, it was. I just wanted to get stacking.
Yeah. No, that's why I got it too. Is like you get stacking for free and Spyro 2. I started playing Spyro 2. Completely forgot that those games don't use the analog stick for the camera.
I know, right?
It uses L1 and R1, and it's backwards, and you can't change it. Like, to me, it's backwards. L1, like, turns the camera to the right, R1 turns it to the left. It's like, I don't know how much I can play this game, but it's so nostalgic to me. But
well, it's something else I completely forgot. Like, when you play, like, one of those old games, like Banjo-Kazooie or Spyro, mm-hmm. like, I don't know about you, but I get lost in it. I keep thinking I'm on N64, and I am not connected to Xbox Live, and there are not friends playing other games that I can check up on and send messages to. I'm just, like, locked into the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that was cool. But, no, stacking, I downloaded that, and that's probably the only thing I've been playing all week, I think. It's a fun little game. Like, it's all like silent movie style. All the cutscenes are like in front of a stage and stuff, and the gameplay is just you're this little Matryoshka doll, this little stacking doll, and you go into increasingly bigger and bigger dolls, and each separate doll has a different ability, like play a violin or slap someone and all this
fart,
and you come up along these challenges that. Once you come up to them, they say there are three solutions to this challenge, and you have to find one of the solutions. And all you have to do is find one of the solutions to progress the story, which is usually pretty easy, because like in the second level, there were like five different solutions to this one puzzle.
Yeah.
And it was easy to find the first ones, but then the ones after that, you got to be really creative, and you don't have to do any of that, but you're kind of... You have to do it if you're a completionist. Like, there's the,
It just kind of adds to the game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's more about... It's such a simple mechanic. All you're doing is walking around talking to people or pressing the X button. But it's trying to figure out... Like, one solution to a puzzle in the second level... I hope I'm not spoiling for you, Eric.
No. Go ahead, I'll forget by the time
I'm going. You have this one VIP on this ship that's in a caviar room, and you need to get her out, so she goes up to the deck to tell the captain to stop the boat. And to get her out, you have to disrupt the caviar somehow. And there's like five different ways to do it. And one of the ways is you have to... There's this other character on the boat who's like a Pied Piper, and he goes up to bunches of rats, and he can... bring the rats to follow him around, and you have to bring those rats up into the back of the kitchen to infest the kitchen, and he dumps out all the caviar. And then there's like four other ways to solve that. Like, you can actually take control of the caviar chef and get him to dump the stuff, or it's really kind of cool the way things work, and and it's a really charming game.
It is. It's
And
it's not really what I expected out of Tim Schafer.
Yeah.
It's not his usual deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's got really cool touches. Like, you can take control of these dogs in some places, and your whole screen goes kind of gray because dogs are colorblind. And it's just little touches like that, or you take control of this one kid who's sick and like the screen goes all dizzy and stuff as you're walking around. You can throw up by pressing the X button.
Yeah,
and there's just so much variety in the different types. I mean, there's set types of stacking dolls all over the place, and there's unique dolls that, you know, some of them are needed for certain puzzles, but some of them are just for fluff. Your objective is to stack with every one of the unique dolls in the level, and you get like bonuses back in your hideout and stuff like that.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. Just going through and and finding different ways to stack into these bigger dolls and just finding the different ones because, you know, aside from the solving the puzzles, there's, like, the different sets
mm-hmm.
that I thought was cool. Like, you know, find this family. Like, in the first level, it was find this little, like, Swedish family or something. They had these little... Or Swiss family. They had, like, these little Swiss outfits on, and you had to find them all
yeah.
Scattered across the map. And I thought that was, you know, it's little things like that that make you want to keep playing it.
Yeah, and then, I mean, every level beyond this, I mean, the first main level that's not the train station, adds, like, the hijinks where, and it's really simple stuff, like, take control of the guy who slaps people and slap five people with him. And it mm-hmm. does things like it changes the doll itself when you complete that hijink. Like, a pirate will have a gold hat after you use his ability a certain amount of times or something like that. And, it's just really simple stuff, but it's... The levels, I mean, you could probably go through and beat that game in, like, an hour or two if you just do the bare minimum. It's not a hard game. It's hard to figure out all the different ways to complete the puzzle, and that's where it's fun.
So how much is it? If you aren't a PS Plus subscriber and you're on Xbox Live or
whatever. It's $15, so I'd assume okay. 1,200 points. And I think it's worth it.
Is it worth it with... Because you got it for free because you signed up for PlayStation Plus and whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, is it worth it for everyone else?
Well, I think I need to know when it ends. Because, like, right now I did... You got the first level's, like, the train station's kind of a tutorial. The second one's on a ship. And now I'm going... And I've been playing for 3 or 4 hours trying to figure out everything. And... I don't know how many more levels there are. I mean, your objective is to save all of your family. Like, they're under, like, child labor and stuff. And it's kind of a dark yeah. story for... But it's still humorous.
A little bit, yeah. But they humorized the whole
yeah. thing. Yeah. But I don't know if, like, what I'm going up to is the last level or not. But the levels are long if you want them to be. Like I said, I've been playing for 4 hours on those two levels. I'll tell you next week if it's worth the $15, but yeah. I think it is because it's just a really
because I'm just wondering if I should save that for Beyond Good and Evil or Torchlight, you know, because stacking looks really
well,
interesting to me.
Yes,
I'd probably save it for Beyond Good.
I would save it for Torchlight personally because you're gonna get so much replayability out of Torchlight.
I know, but Beyond Good and Evil is so good.
Is that released on PSN 2 next month?
I don't know. Probably
sure.
Like later.
It's part of Xbox Live's block party.
That's
why
I'm
so
wondering if
they might have some like time exclusivity to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That sucks.
I remember the great image that was going around where like they were giving away Beyond Good and Evil in packs of cheese sticks in Canada.
Are you kidding
me?
Well,
this says it'll be on PSN.
Oh, really?
Really?
In 2011, it doesn't say when, but
yeah, no, it will be on PS3. I know, but.
Just matter
so,
when.
Just not, yeah. Hmm. I'll probably get it for PSN.
Yeah.
Just because I think I'm moving that way.
Yeah.
Beyond Good and Evil is so good. A short game, but really good.
It is really good. And I think... I wonder how the HD thing's going to look, because really, like, the game by itself, like, if you buy the game on GOG, it's, like, it's not bad still.
No,
yeah, it's not bad. It was a GameCube game, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Xbox.
And PS2.
Hmm. And PS2. Yeah.
It's true. So yeah. Now, let's hear what Dan has to say about
Romeo and Juliet
games this week.
Well, hold on, I guess. So I'm trying to save money. And I'm trying to, you know, sort of like stick to what games I have. You know? So I'm playing through Pokemon. I just beat the Elite Four of the Johto, so I'm just starting to get into Kanto. And the reason I'm playing through Pokemon is because what started at PAX Prime and what's going to be happening at PAX East is the PAX Pokemon League, which is a really cool community event where, you know, it's just this group of people that says, okay, we're going to dress up as leaders. You know, we each have agreed to one specific type of Pokemon. You know, like there's a fire type, there's an ice type, there's going to be a dragon type, a fire type. And if you see them around the convention hall, you know, wearing their, you know, PAX, like, lime green Pokemon League scarf, you can challenge them with a team of Pokemon from HeartGold or SoulSilver.
Huh.
And if you beat them, you get a badge. If you get six of, like, however many leaders they have, then you get to go and fight the Elite Four.
Are you kidding me? That is awesome.
And if you get to the top, they're going to have, like, you know, sort of like a champion sort of, like, battle where, like, the champions can fight each other. But, like, everyone who becomes a champion gets, like, a hat at the end. And everyone has badges. Like, you actually get physical badges from these things. So it's really, really cool idea. And okay. So I'm getting my team up there. I'm going to get a team ready to go. So that's what I'm focusing on.
I should. You know, I guess PAX Prime will probably be black and white, I would assume.
Right, because black and white comes out a week before, so they're saying Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Okay.
Just for this.
I might just.
Might
just have to get black and white then. Black or white.
It's really, really cool, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's like why I'm just playing Pokemon for a while. While I do that, though, I'm reading a book by PAX East keynote speaker Jane McGonigal called Reality is Broken.
Her face is weird.
Oh!
There was
What the hell?
It's just something every week with you, isn't it?
I saw a really weird picture of her.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Don't like black people. Face is weird.
Hates women.
Oh, crap. I'm editing the podcast
God,
this
Caleb.
Week.
What?
You cut it out, I guess, but we know.
I just, oh my God, Caleb, how the hell could you say that? basically, she's a game developer. She's like got a PhD in computer game sciences, and she makes the argument that games can be beneficial to the world, and that reality as we know it is just broken. You know, it's boring, it's tedious, it's not challenging enough, and people are flooding to virtual worlds in a mass exodus. And so throughout the book, I mean, I'm only like a third of the way through, she like makes the point of what gamers have gotten out of playing games. She argues that the world spends 3 billion hours a week playing games. And we need to get that number up to 21 billion hours per week. Like, there's a sweet spot of, like, 7 hours to 21 hours a week, where if you spend that much time playing games, you're getting benefits out of it. You're getting confidence, you're getting, like, just cognitive thinking, you're getting logic, problem-solving, all this stuff. And if you play a confident character in a game, you actually have a boost of confidence after you play a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one... up to where I've read up to is, like, the one reason alone you should get this book is she explains why we play games. Which, you know, is, like, a question that has just been, you know, debated upon. Like, Robert Ashley did, like, Why We Game episode of A Life Well Wasted, where, like, nobody had a clear, concise answer. And this, she provides one where it's, you know, we enjoy hard work. We enjoy hard work that we choose. And I think I... have did either of you even like read the book or look at it, one of her TED Talks or something?
I was gonna watch. I've got her TED Talk bookmarked.
Her TED Talk is incredible. She was on the Colbert Report and she did a great job there too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what did she say here? She defined games as different types of work, where there's like high stakes work, which is like, you know, big success but also a big risk of failure, like, you know, Gran Turismo Racing or Left 4 Dead or Call of Duty. Then there's busy work, which is like Bejeweled and Farmville, where it's tedious and monotonous, but at the same time, we chose it for ourselves. And we like doing stuff with our hands that are just, you know, little actions just to keep us busy. Then there's mental work, which is like Brain Age and Age of Empires, which is all strategy. Physical, which is like Dance Revolution. Discovery, which is like exploring Bioshock, or just like worlds that we don't understand and we want to learn more about. And then there's like teamwork and creative work. As long as you choose the work for yourself, she argues, it's actually enjoyable and beneficial to you. When you are doing something to make a living, or to make someone else happy, or to add stress to your life, it's not enjoyable work.
Well, I think that's true, but I think the solution of playing more games to succeed that is kind of the wrong direction. Like, well, who's the other guy who did the talk, the crazy talk about Facebook and, like, the social games in real life? And putting more of an emphasis on that stuff in the real world rather than, you know, saying, oh, play 21 hours of games
well,
a week.
That's where it's going. Because now people are making games that do benefit the real world and that do help solve real world problems. Like people have been flooding the games because, you know, they make you feel good. They make you feel good. They take you out of the real world's problems. Well, what if you could do that? What if you could stick in the real world and solve real world problems while still feeling good about it? You know, why be put down for being a gamer? What if everyone was playing these games? Everyone thinking about these problems coming together to solve these. And she makes the point that back in the old days, like Herodotus, that I think it was a country like Persia. They suffered a great famine. Like, they did not have much food to go around. So what they did was, for one day, they would play only games, and they would focus only on playing games. And they would be so, like, having so much fun, they wouldn't think about eating. And then the next day, they would only eat. They would eat, and they wouldn't even think about games. They wouldn't discuss it, they wouldn't try to play one, they wouldn't do it. And they did like that, and they survived like that for 18 years. And then it all culminated in, like, one final game where, like, the top players competed to go on a real-life quest, an epic journey to find a new place to live. So it's a great, great read. I really think you guys should check it out. Everyone's been reading it lately, and I can't wait for her talk at PAX East. Eric doesn't read, though, because...
Eric doesn't read?
What do you mean I don't read?
I'm the one that doesn't read.
Take a look. It's in a book.
I read. I've been listening to books, and I do have the Jay McGonigal book on, or at least the sample on my Kindle. I haven't gotten around to reading it, though.
You should read. It's really, really good. It's a philosophical book, but it's explained in a very understandable way. It's the best philosophy book I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then I saw Romeo and Juliet yesterday.
God.
So, me and my girlfriend, we're like, oh, we saw the trailer for that, and we're just like, yeah, we're going to that. And we don't care if it's bad or good, we're going to that. And we got in line, and, like, the movie theater we normally go to is in a mall, but it's a dead mall. It's like a mall that you don't know how it survives. And, like, the movie theater is never busy. Tons and tons of people in line last night. And we sort of made the connection in our head, like, they're not here to see Romeo and Juliet. They're here to see Justin Bieber never say never in 3D. They, like, sold out that theater for Justin Bieber. And across the hall is, of course, us and Romeo and Juliet. It wasn't a bad movie. Like, Pixar films are generally, you know, they sort of appeal both to kids and adults, but even more so to adults because there's a lot of jokes in there that only adults would get. Whereas Romeo and Juliet, that's all kids. Every single thing about it is pretty much kids, except for, like, one or two adult jokes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, you know, the red garden gnomes and the blue garden gnomes fighting, and they all look really great. They all sound really great, look really great. And, you know, Romeo and Juliet, they fall in love. It opens up with, like, a little gnome coming out and talking about, you know, how this was a story that was based on a story a long, 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 long time ago. And then he starts reading the whole prologue from Romeo and Juliet, and he gets pulled off. So it makes fun of itself a lot of times. And it's also, we noticed all the music was Elton John. Like, every single song. Even the score, even the, like, you know, the epic battle score was Saturday, you know? Where she's like, dun-dun-dun, 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 buh-buh, dun-dun-dun. It's like...
I think you know Elton John a little too well.
What's wrong with that?
Saturday's a classic song.
I don't know it.
Saturday's a recognizable song. Betty is a recognizable song. I don't...
Now Elton John, too?
Like, what the fuck,
Caleb? Jeez, Dan. Caleb, I don't know... what to say anymore.
Caleb hates gay people.
I don't. Oh my word.
So anyways, we're wondering this and like why it's like so very like Elton John-y throughout, and then we find out executive producer Elton John, and it's like his movie studio. And like one weekend he was just like, I want to make a movie.
That makes sense.
It's a pretty good film. If you got Murgatory, if like, I don't know if your kid's old enough yet, but take it, like, it's a good kids movie. I enjoyed it. She enjoyed it. We had fun with it.
Okay.
I don't know. I just wanted to talk about something. Okay, in the wave when I was like, hey, can we just open it up to everything? Caleb's like, yeah, that sounds great. Eric, sure, I have absolutely no problem with that.
What? I don't. Like, it's cool. I mean, I don't want it, like, this is still a video game podcast.
Right.
I don't want it to be like, oh, this is what I listened to on Audible this week.
I had lasagna for supper.
Although I did listen to Metropolis on Audible, and it is awesome.
Well, I can end off with one game, and that's Murgatroyd. I'm so sorry I didn't talk about this over the last few weeks. I did play Abin Hawkins. And...
You talked about that last week.
Did I?
No.
I remember talking about it before. Yeah,
well, that was a few
Thousand Spikes. We talked about something.
Well, yeah, we talked about how I would play it, but I didn't talk about it. Look, all I want to say is that it's you get 1,000 lives to beat this whole game, and every level you have to do in one shot. And it's an incredibly, you know, I want to be the guy style platformer, only instead of I want to be the guy where it's like, oh, you died for no obvious reason, it gives you, like, a little bit of a hint as to how you could fail. It's pretty good. It's a dollar. I don't know if I enjoy it that much. I feel like Murgatroyd thought I would enjoy it because it's a hardcore game. And, But okay, we're at an hour. We should probably go into a break.
Yeah. Sure. Break.
That was a great break.
That was a fantastic break.
Caleb, are you editing this week, or do you want me to edit?
I thought Eric was editing.
Who said
I
that?
I thought we were cycling.
Yeah, it's like, I was going to say, like, do you really think he's going to do it?
Well, when I mentioned cycling, I thought he was going to edit this last week, and then it would come back to me.
No, only me and you agreed to cycling. He didn't agree to it at all.
I didn't even notice a talk about cycling.
It
what
was in a wave a few
about?
Weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's probably why I didn't see it.
I'll edit.
I can do it.
Okay, if you want to.
I get the news. Alright? I'm a news filterer.
Hey, so how about that Guitar Hero?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I want to talk about this god-awful Kotaku redesign.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. What the hell?
Jesus.
They're forcing their mobile on the world of PC, which is the most ridiculous thing, and I'm surprised they haven't changed it yet with how much outcry has gone on about this.
Like, how much negative feedback they have gotten on this redesign. And they even, like, they post their Sunday webcomics or whatever.
Yeah. And what was
Penny
Arcade?
they posted the Penny Arcade comic that said it was awful.
and yet they haven't changed it back.
Well, that's because I don't think it's a Kotaku choice. No. I think it's a Gawker.
Yeah, no, it started with Gawker, and that's the thing. That's the problem. It's like, why? This isn't a revolution. There's no revolution here. It's retarded.
I can't read Kotaku. I can't read Life Hacker now either. And I used to love going to Life Hacker.
It's all their sites are like this now, and it's just bad.
Yeah, I can't focus on anything. Like, when I see a Kotaku, like, I use RSS for my news anyway, so I don't always go to everything. But if I see a Kotaku link, I think twice about clicking it anymore. I'm like, oh, Joystick or Destructoid will have that same story in like 5 minutes.
Yep. Yeah,
or already true. Had it, and I'm like,
and that's why
I don't care enough about you guys to keep coming back if you're gonna pull this.
Yeah. And that's why I used to like Kotaku, because they were usually like the first person to post things.
Yeah,
but now I might change to something else unless they change this to to something far more appealing than what they have now. And their stuff is like broken.
Yeah, it's really broken.
Like even the Sunday Comics thing, like, it doesn't show the whole image anymore.
They had to expand it. And they progressively went a couple weeks ago before the redesign, they went on their Sunday Comics to that gallery style. And Kotaku's galleries have never worked. So why would they do that? Like, before, they would post them in sequential thing where I could, like, view each image separate. It's so annoying, though.
Can't read Kotaku. I can't read 1UP unless I have Adblock Plus going on.
Why?
Well, that's the same thing on Destructoid, too. Oh. I mean,
because 1UP, like, you get 4 pop-ups in a minute.
Oh, pop-up? I don't get any pop-ups.
Well, not like a pop-up, like a...
Like the...
Hey, come like check this out, but like a rollover
slap
ad.
Slap on the front of the page. Yeah.
Yes, like a little
sticker. I got that on Destructoid the other day with that stupid Nick Cage movie that's coming out, where it was just like a huge explosion on the screen, and then this picture pops up, and it's like, really? Like, I was just clicking on a story for something, and then all of a sudden it was like...
Nick Cage.
The whole freaking... Yeah, the whole
Ghost Rider
page. I'm like... Wow, this is bad.
The thing that really disappoints me is no one really does a week in games that's readable anymore. They changed the Kotaku one to showcase the big name games and then like jumble the other into a soup of words. And
Joystick does an okay job.
Joystick's usually late.
Of just what's been released, or
of what's coming up in the next week, like the releases for the next week.
I use Dueling Analogs.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They've been, like, releasing every week. They do this is what's been released. And it's just a list of here's what's came out.
As long as it's, like, a list and, like, a bullet list, you know.
Yeah, it is. Like, this is what came out this week.
Well, let's talk about some goddamn news.
We are talking about news. We're talking about god-awful web design.
Okay.
Bad, like super bad.
Oh yeah, there we go.
But
it doesn't even make sense, though. Like, that's the worst part about Kotaku's, is that it doesn't make sense. It wasn't called for.
No.
Yeah, like their stuff was bad. Like, they don't have the related story stuff anymore, and it's just too bad. Anyway, the big news that came out today, and I mean, I guess it's big news. But
it was expected.
it
was inevitable.
Activision has officially killed off the Guitar Hero franchise, and True Crime Hong Kong, which I forgot was even in development. but they've said that. Specifically with the Guitar Hero franchise, that they just haven't been making any money, and it's too much money to put into it, and the peripheral designing and all that, and they just haven't been making any money.
Well, when you release a game, 3 games in a fucking year, that's what happens.
I think Harmonix saw that Activision was going to do that, and that's why they went and did Rock Band and created a platform and not a game to release.
True, yeah.
Because, like, Rock Band 2, is
Harmonix went and made Rock Band because of a lawsuit.
Well, yeah, but they
well,
they did it
they
right.
made Rock, but like the DLC, like they don't release like, oh, here's the Metallica Action Pack for Guitar Hero 5. You know, they have the Rock Band Network,
right?
You know, the Rock Band store where you can individually download all these things rather than, you know, going out and buying the Van Halen disc
and weekly releases. And
yeah, and it, and I mean, like you said, Dan, you still use Rock Band 2, which
yep.
is all well and good. And then, you know, they're slowly phasing out. February 15th is actually the last day you're ever going to get DLC that will work with Rock Band 2. Cause,
and you know what? I'm okay with that. Like, that's the one thing that pissed me off this week, was that everyone was saying that the music industry was dying. Or the music game industry, rather, was dying.
Yeah, no, that's
what
too
the,
extreme.
Who the hell is... That's... What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't think it's dying. I think there's just a clear-cut winner now.
Yeah,
there's a clear-cut winner. But, like, people were saying, oh, music industry's dying, Harmonix is going to be the next to go. And it's like, yes, they laid off 10% of their staff. But maybe we could relate that to Rock Band 3 not doing so well. Now, why did Rock Band 3 not do so well? Because everyone was perfectly fine with Rock Band 2. I'm still okay with Rock Band 2. I'm still okay with the Beatles Rock Band. I love the Beatles Rock Band. I don't need the keyboard yet. Caleb's saying, they're slowly phasing it out. Yeah, maybe later this year, I'll pick up Rock Band
3. Yeah, because like if there's...
check up on what I missed.
Yeah, if there's DLC that comes out, they're like, oh, I really want to play that song. That's when you're going to move to... It's just like a platform. It's like a console.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I'll keep my PS2 for a few more years. I'm still getting use out of it. And then you move to Rock Band 3, and because you're like, okay, now they've got all these songs that I really love. I can't download
them.
You
know what?
But
Harmonix still making money doing the DLC downloads, or have we forgotten about Dance Central?
Yeah.
Which is like the number one Kinect game right now. Like, the
well, that's
must
not
have
hard.
Kinect game is Dance Central.
That's not a hard thing
not,
to do.
That's
but,
not saying much, to be
but
honest.
Yeah.
Even
but.
Still, like, if that's the number one game, that's selling a lot of copies. Like,
yeah.
There are two girls in my house right now playing Dance Central. I mean...
Yeah, why didn't you talk about how you were playing Connectable?
I wasn't playing Connectable. I'm on my computer. My little sister's playing my Kinect, and all of a sudden I get a tweet. Oh, look, at Dan UNG's playing Connectables. Guess what we're going to talk about this week, show.
He did a
That's
really
because
good Eric
out of all out of all right of there. Us that play games like that, we could easily see you playing Connectables.
Yeah.
And be like, it's the best game ever. I love Connectables.
Oh, my cupcakes are done.
I just like to point out that Connectables does do a good job of being just like a playing with an animal game where like it constantly rewards you. Like, because I was watching as it was, she's the only one who's been playing, and like mm-hmm. just like she constantly gets rewards. Like it, whenever playing with a toy, like a ball or like the treasure finder, there are challenges that'll pop up without even like interrupting the game. Like even like oh. Hit A to do this challenge, it just pops up and like some things just pop up in the environment and she'll get points for doing them. And then it'll unlock something new and it just keeps unlocking every time she plays. And so that's what Connectimals does really well. So it's not a bad game. But that's all I'm going to say about it. Back to the music game industry.
This week.
Back okay. to the music game industry. And also, I follow Peter Skerritt on Twitter. He's a really fun guy. He's smart. He's also a little depressing to follow every once in a while. But he said, like, oh, you know, all these spin-off games that Activision did, Harmonix better learn a lesson from that. And it's like, Green Day Rock Band, well, it didn't sell as well as Beatles, did okay. And hey, Beatles Rock Band, I'm pretty sure, was in, like, one of the top 10 NPDs for a few months.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you'd kind of notice that Harmonix did take note that, oh, Lego Rock Band didn't sell quite as well as we wanted it to, or something like that, you know?
Right.
So they haven't been sad. Like, there were so many versions of Guitar Hero, it was ridiculous.
I think that's many versions
of Guitar Hero. You got the next version of Guitar Hero if you bought Guitar Hero.
Yeah, yeah.
If you bought Guitar Hero 5, you got Van Halen. What?
Yeah, I think that Green Day Rock Band was like them testing the waters, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because Beatles Rock Band
Yeah, Beatles
sense.
Rock Band was awesome.
In a development point of view and like just the game being
mm-hmm.
good
yeah.
because you know all the licensing issues, you know, there wasn't a way around, you know, releasing it onto the network as DLC. So, but like, you know, Green Day Rock Band, everybody's like, well, you know, Green Day is all right. And so I think that was them testing the waters, which is why we haven't heard any you know, anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, everything's been like through that. PlayStation Network, like the whole David Bowie pack and stuff. That was marketed like nobody's
what?
Business. Wasn't it David Bowie?
You said David Bowie.
Yeah, you said David Bowie.
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 But that was sickening how much that was promoted, honestly.
I mean, they just released a video for their Valentine's Love Pack.
That was so cheap.
It was so cheesy.
So.
But yeah, the music industry is not dying. It's not going away.
It's
Activision just...
Well, it's dying in the sense that it's not as popular, but, you know, that's like saying the RPG genre is dying, or the, it's coming into its own. It is its own entity now, you know.
I'm pulling up, Bill Madron tweeted this this week about the story, and I just want to pull up, because I favorited it. He said, "I seriously, honestly, holy shit, can't believe Activision managed to flush a $1 billion franchise down the toilet in less than 4 years."
Yeah.
That's so true.
And,
how did they do that?
And they've also announced that now now that they have dropped Rock Band, they are focusing more on their, Call of Duty community by releasing more social marketing crap.
More social games? They're making a studio dedicated to Call of Duty games inside their...
Yeah. Called, like, Beachhead, I think.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Subscription
so,
Call of Duty coming
that'll
soon.
That'll be the next one to go. Anyway. So, there is this... patent battle going on between Sony and LG. Sony is going after LG for its mobile phones that they've been saying have infringed on several of their patents, and LG has recently come at Sony about their Blu-ray players that infringe on some of their patents. With how it deals with data and different camera angles. And so they're going after Sony, and if they win this suit with the Trade Commission, LG has the power to ban PS3 from sale in the United States.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. I think it's a little bit of third-party jealousy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but do you think that they would even do that?
I don't think it can. I don't think that could work.
Because, I mean, it says that, you know, that kind of penalty is rarely enforced for popular devices.
Yeah, like that, and at the bottom of the story it says Motorola asked that Xbox 360 be pulled from American shelves too a couple months ago.
Yeah.
That I didn't hear about that one.
I didn't know, yeah, that one must have been...
That's just ridiculous. Like, there's... And the patents have to do with a system to reproduce data that's stored on a read-only device. That's like saying... Some one company has the sole right to burn DVDs. And
it's like back when that guy was, or the one company was suing Blizzard over rights over MMOs.
Yeah, there's a point at which that's acceptable, and then there's a point at which that's common throughout an industry, and it's not owned by any one person anymore. It's like you can't sue for that kind of stuff. It just seems so ridiculous.
Yeah. I think it's basically just them like chasing after a paycheck.
Yeah,
I think.
LG's wanting to get into the game console market. Yeah,
that's about it. Some new details have emerged on Dark Souls, which I'm super excited.
I'm
going to
play Demon Souls today. That's decided. It's been a while.
I'm excited because now with these changes, Hidetaka Miyazaki, who is the director, said in an interview that there will be a weapon upgrade system that's easier to understand, changes to the multiplayer, you know, all things like that I just
wish that Demon Souls had would have just made it so much better. So I can just see this, like, even if it's just like Demon Souls with new levels with these changes, I'll love the death out of it.
Yeah, if the only thing I need is to be able to say, oh, hey, my friend's on, let's jump into his game.
Yeah, like just some kind of, you know, party system.
At that, and it, like even the teaser trailer kind of nods at something like that, because you got a group of adventurers around a campfire. So I mean, there's a good chance that's gonna happen. I'm super excited for this game.
Yeah.
Isn't Demon's Souls like $20 now? Anyways,
I don't know.
30 or 20. It's one of the greatest hits.
Yeah.
We got some Elder Scrolls Skyrim screenshots from Game Informer. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see the Harry Partridge video?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I've seen it floating around.
It's really good. It's not Saturday Morning Watchmen good, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no yeah, I did see that. That is pretty funny. And there's, well, I mean, that was just about the trailer, but these screenshots actually look really
good.
Yeah,
no, I think the key thing to notice in these screenshots is that the one chick in the one screenshot does not look like a butt.
that is good to notice.
Hey, Caleb, remember when he said that thing about the other woman's face? You know, Jane McGonigal?
Maybe that's how they look in real life. Maybe they had it right.
Right.
Me. Wow.
But they have that, which is really good to notice. And then they also have some things about like the dual fighting where you'll be able to attack and spell cast at the same time. They have a screenshot of that. They have a shot of their new menu system, and it all looks really good. And I can't wait for this. I mean, nobody can wait for this. This is why frickin' Destructoid does anything comes out on Elder Scrolls, they talk about it in their podcast.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about playing through Oblivion again.
Yeah, I need to. I need to actually beat Oblivion.
Yeah.
I'm flipping through the Skyrim edition of Game Informer right now, and it's just like, I should probably read this.
Yeah, I haven't read it either. I got it.
Yeah, I was just looking through it, actually.
I'm wondering how well it will do on the consoles. Like, if they maybe the new engine actually works on consoles. Because I'd like to play it on my PS3, but I'll probably end up getting it on PC.
Yeah. Oh well. So Cave Story, which came out for WiiWare late last year, I think. It's been announced that NIS is going to be
NIS, not Atlas. Wow.
Yeah. Is going to be doing a 3D remake for the 3DS. So it's going to evolve from its 2D into something that looks a lot more like Shadow Complex. Which is awesome.
Yeah, no, the it was teased earlier in the week with like a printy that had Cave Stories gear on. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And I'm amazed that it's NIS doing it. Like, did they have something to do with the Wii port then, I guess?
I don't know. No.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. But still, awesome. Yeah. Because Cave Story is such a great game, and I think I'd play the hell out of it if I had a 3DS. So.
That might be the killer app for me.
Now, did they say it was retail or downloadable?
I don't know that they did say. I think
it's
just
announced.
Because
if it's downloadable, I'd keep that on me all the time. I would love that.
If it was retail, I'd keep it on me all the time.
Well, I'm just, yeah, but I mean, like, it would, that I could play Pokemon and Cave Story at the same time. Yes, at the same time.
And then the last thing I wanted to talk about, I don't know if you guys follow
Oh, it's a retail, by the way, in the interview.
Okay. Braid guy.
Braid dude.
Jonathan Blow.
Oh, yeah, I saw the picture of that.
He's making, he's been making this new game called The Witness, which is you're stranded on this island, or you wake up on this island, and you're supposed to traverse the island and solve these puzzles to figure out the mystery of the island. He put a post today talking about how he deleted 25 of the puzzles that he didn't see working with the game, and so he wanted to find out how many puzzles he has so far on this game. Braid had 76 puzzles in it, about. And so far, this one has 222. That's quite the increase, I'd say. And then he says that he's not even done there. He says by the time he's done, there's probably going to be over 400.
This puzzles. Looks so reminiscent of Myst. It is exciting me.
Definitely.
You have no idea how excited I am for this. And what is it coming out on? Is it? I mean,
I don't.
PS3 and Xbox 360, I believe.
Okay.
You said. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure.
So, and then every week or so, he posts an update of the island and how it's been developed. It's the same shot that he posts, just with different things on it, and it's like evolved from like. Just kind of this mound on the earth into it's pretty detailed so far. Yeah.
It says to be released on multiple platforms, whatever makes sense in late 2011 when the game will hopefully be finished.
Oh, if it comes out this year or two, that adds to the awesomeness of 2011.
I can't wait for him to once again push the boundaries of what we're willing to pay on Xbox Live. I can't wait for it to be $20.
Well,
and then everyone to bitch about it.
$20 for a game that
and then everyone to bitch about
puzzles.
It.
400 puzzles. Oh yeah, whatever. I don't care. I'd pay. Braid was great, and this one looks like it'll be even more amazing.
It looks pretty freaking fantastic. Like, I haven't looked up on this since the original website launched.
Yeah, I had no idea what he was working on. I knew he was working on something, but I didn't even know it was called The Witness until you posted that story on there.
Yeah. It's, I've just had it in my reader, and, I mean, I haven't really followed it, but, like, I've at least looked at the island snapshots that he does every month or so.
I should add him to my reader.
I've been following that, and then I've been following Spy Party.
Yes.
Oh, Spy Party. I was about to say, that looks really great.
Which looks really good, too, which is where you play either a sniper or somebody in a party. As a sniper, you're supposed to find the person in the party, and as the person in the party, you're basically just supposed to escape. So
You got to do all your challenges. Like, you got to, turn a statue or like replace a statue head or like take a book out of a bookshelf and put it on another bookshelf in the room and then like assassinate someone.
Yeah. So it's that looks like a really, really fun game. That's been coming along really good too. So
speaking of indie games that are never coming out, what is up with Fez?
I don't know. I mean, he came out with that that trailer, a couple months ago? And, there hasn't been anything since.
I mean, right now Wikipedia says 2011, but...
Yeah,
but it's
so, I mean, there's that, there was a whole bunch of titles that came out, around when Fez was announced that I thought were really cool, what is it? The Unfinished Swan or whatever, that one where you're like it's a completely white area, and then you have like the paint gun that paints the area around it. I remember
was that,
that
actually getting I thought that was just a student project. I didn't know it was getting anything more than that.
Well, they said that they were going to release it eventually, but they haven't yet. Unless it's
no, I don't see it.
The game is still in development. No release plans have been announced. So, but that looked like a really, really cool game to me. But yeah, there was like that. There's Fez. There was. It sucks to hear things like that, you know, because somebody comes up with this great idea for a game, and you think, oh, that's really cool, but, you know, because either they, you know, aren't a big team or they aren't very focused, you know, it doesn't come out.
It sounds like a good segue.
Speaking of ideas for a game.
Which is a great segue to hear about how the bet's going. So how are things going, Dan? What did you spend your first week on?
Coming up with a game design and drafting the initial ideas and story going into it.
Ooh, you're doing
and
story?
I would like, I'm not doing a... Not really.
Okay.
That was just a nice word to put in there to basically describe. Yeah, I came up with something.
Okay.
But I wanted to check back in with you guys before I started making anything because that's what we said. We said that there would be more conditions applied.
Yeah, based on what you're doing.
So right now I need a splash screen with company name, start menu with how to play if necessary, state machine, win condition in an event, a fail condition in an event, has to go back to the menu, and has to be able to leave the game cleanly.
Yes.
Right. Right. So, what's your idea, though?
It's gonna be a 2D. It's a 2D platformer, but it's very much like one room, puzzles going on.
So, like,
get
the,
from point A to point B, and then it starts a new point A to point B.
Okay.
Okay, so you have to have.
Ooh, physics, fun.
Well,
he has to have physics of some kind. It's just going to be interesting to see how his physics play out. Everything is physics.
Right.
I mean, even if it's hard coding.
All right, but he doesn't have to have, like, you know, move the box over.
Yeah,
kind of things,
no,
I mean, jumping
no.
And
it doesn't have to be,
that,
like, a physics-based platform or anything, but there are...
How many levels minimum do you think he has to have?
5.
Yeah, I'd say 5.
Okay. 5 levels.
So there's single room, no camera movement or anything like that?
What was that?
Is it's single room, there's no camera movement?
Is it single room? Yeah, it's a single room.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what else I can pull from that in terms of requirements.
I don't know, like, there's requirements of what you need to have, and then there's, like... based on what you make, whether it satisfies us. Like, how, like, if the levels are complex enough, and,
so what,
and whether it's fun
what, to what's, play. What's your gimmick? What's your gameplay feature? Is it just jumping?
So, I guess you could say the gimmick is, you know, you play through, how do I describe it? Okay, so, the main way to solve the puzzles is when you go down one side of the screen, you come out the other side.
Okay.
So basically, if you fall down, you pop back up.
So like a fetus
down.
Thing.
Like fetus, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
What's fetus? I've never played fetus.
That's what you've described.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fetus is kind of like that. Sudef is better.
Fetus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to say that you
yeah,
can't
no,
do
no,
it.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
I didn't know this existed, and even still, it's a very basic idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
let's go over this again. So I need 5 levels.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of
at least
some sort of physics to jump in.
Well, yeah. To move around.
Well, you'll have to do that.
Yeah.
That'll be stuff you'll have to figure out as you go along.
Do I need
that's
enemies?
Depends on the
yeah,
puzzle.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of... Yeah,
challenge.
So like there's ways to fail the puzzle. If it's just a puzzle game, there has to be ways to fail the puzzle. Like if you fall and you just keep falling, I mean, if there's not a way to fail, you have to have a place where you'll get stuck and we'll have to restart. You know, there has to be that kind of
right.
challenge. Like, so a restart right. button, if it's a puzzle-based level, is probably a necessary thing. That's not hard to do. But
oh. So, and then, did you decide what you're going to use to make the game?
I think I'm going, because you guys said I couldn't use UDK.
Well,
which saddens me.
You can use UDK, but you can't use the assets that are available with it.
Then I think I'm going to use UDK, because I took a look at XNA, and I wasn't very... I'm still very split. I'm leaning more towards UDK, though.
XNA is...
I mean, it's the same. You can make the same type of game in both.
Yeah, it just will take a lot of working around to get the 2D-ness of a platformer like that.
I'll figure something out.
Yeah, you so, might have to use like a mod to get the 2D stuff in Unreal.
I think I'm just going to use Game Maker.
No.
It's going to be great.
Then you're going to fail. Well, I would say use XNA just because I think that in terms of when you get around to coding, you'll be able to find
more resources.
Assistance.
Yeah, there's a lot of resources out there for that. And XNA is kind of like beginner's coding just because it uses C#. Like,
yeah, C# is a really...
It's clean. I like...
It's cleaner, yeah.
You don't have pointers floating around and references and...
Yeah, there's less things you have to worry about.
No, I think I'll use XNA. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So you have now 3 weeks...
Yes!
...to... All right, so wait, we had... things I just thought of is that, you know, you have your art details that you have to make...
Mm.
Has to have sounds.
Now, can... What if I form a team? Does it all have to be me? Like, what
you
if
said
I have...
It was you.
Be you. I think that's how it started.
You said, I can make a game
I don't
myself.
Know, I don't care okay. if the art looks like crap. It can be, like, paint things, like, burp, 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 burp. It has to be in there, though.
Okay.
So, like, and if you feel like you like game design, form a team after that. And that's a great thing to do.
Yeah. But cocky you said, no, I can make a game in a month.
Okay. I can.
This is on you. So it has to have art, and it has to have sound, and...
What kind of sound?
Have some kind
back,
of,
what kind
like,
of sound?
Back. Like sounds, like effects.
Like a real game would
jumping
have.
Jumping makes a noise, landing makes a noise, breaking something makes a noise.
Beating okay. level, maybe music.
Yeah, maybe music. We might cut you
yeah,
some
no,
slack
you wouldn't
that.
Have to write your own. You could choose your own music.
Okay.
But if you put music in XNA, you have to learn how to use Xact, which is fun. That program
oh, he
crashes
has to learn,
if you look at it
He has
wrong.
To learn a lot of things. Kind of like how I thought up of a game, but I know that it would take forever because I don't know XNA and I hate programming.
I love programming.
That's why when...
How'd that game design school go?
I didn't go to a game design school.
What did you go to school for?
I went to school for computer science, and then I changed it to something else.
What'd you change it to?
Mass communications.
How'd that go?
Well, he's here, isn't he?
I'm here, communicating.
We don't know how massive our audience is, but... Because they don't email us.
It's... Yeah, it's... No matter what you do now... And I don't know if you have yet to realize this, Dan, but you're probably not going to find a job.
You mean I can't be anything I want to be?
Nope.
You mean all those times where TV and my parents were saying, you could be anything you want to be when you grow up. I can't be anything I want to be?
Fortunately
I'm kind of stuck with game design. Played too many games.
It's... Yeah. The way things are right now, you really have to work at it and be in the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
And know the right people.
Like, yeah, like with Caleb, he actually went to Full Sail, and like that's what they do there is game design.
Right.
So he had an easier time of it than, say, you or me who go to a regular school who, like, I'm guessing game design isn't like a big thing at your school, right?
I don't even want to do game design.
Well, right, but you're in, like,
a
computer
college.
Science. Aren't you doing computer science? Isn't that what you were doing?
What the fuck are you talking about?
We don't know what Dan's
what,
doing.
What degree are you going for?
I'm a liberal arts major right now.
Oh, God.
Whoa!
have fun working at McDonald's.
Whoa!
Liberal arts. Basically, like, you haven't chosen anything yet.
Well, because, I mean, I don't really mind what my future is as long as I have a career and I'm with the girl I love. That's really all I need, you know? I don't care if it's in games or if it's not. I don't care if it's with writing or if it's with something else. As long as it's something that I enjoy and that, you know, I can be with my love, then
that's
all I need.
That's great, but if you want it to be something you enjoy, you're going to have to pick something soon.
Yep.
Because I didn't. And it took me 2 years of going through computer science to realize I didn't like it. And I like mass communications, but unfortunately I didn't do enough to be able to get a good job off the bat.
It's like, because like, that's why I did liberal arts, because that way I'm just filling out my Massachusetts general education requirements right now for every single major.
Yeah, that's good, but community college, are you going for a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree?
I'm transferring.
Transferring to a full university?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, you only got 3 years left then.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's my serious talk about college is that you need to get to work on all that stuff right now. Because I didn't, and I've yet to find a job.
Where do you work now?
At a factory. It's a job. It's not the job I want.
Well, if I ever need a job, I can just move in with Caleb, and he can help me out. Right, Caleb?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
I was also going to try that. That takes money to do, though, too.
Well, not when you live with Caleb.
Anyway.
I'll just bake shit.
Before we hell get depressing and... and real worldy.
Well, that's what we already reached that point.
I know,
point,
we hit the bottom.
Oh, I know.
In happier news, dude.
Thanks, Mr. Cotball.
Death by Chopsticks Project it's Number true. 1 is coming along awesomely.
Now, what is Project Number 1?
Is that the game or is that the website?
It doesn't have an official name yet, but.
Caveman 2.
It's tentatively referred to as Crystal Hunters, but I hate that name, so I'm calling it DBC Project Number 1.
Caveman.
Yeah.
But
I have thought of a game, because I have nothing else to think about at work. So
well, that's what we spent all day, me and my friend who's doing the art, and shoot, he's going to help a lot with coding, because we're trying to think all day yesterday of what the second project would be, and like we figured it out at Wendy's, and there was like when we go through final project we submit the multiple game ideas, and the one that they turned down was a 2.5D platformer that was, it had so many cool features to it, so that's going to be our next project. That's so we're kind of chomping at the bit to get this first one done, but some cool things could be happening near the end of the project. I'm not going to say anything yet on the podcast, but yep.
Well, okay. Well, I think an hour 41 is about a good time to wrap it up. So thank you for listening to Broken Embargo. If you'd like the podcast, go ahead and go to unnamedgaming.podomatic.com. There you can comment on the show, or if you don't want to do that, just click that I want more. That'll send us a notification that lets us know that you exist. You can email us podcast@unnamedgaming.com or just comment directly on the Podomatic page. Visit me on the web, danplaysgames.wordpress.com. WordPress.com. Caleb's going on with deathbychopsticks.com. He'll have something up there hopefully soon.
By the end of the month.
And Eric, you can find him at the factory. You can find him on Twitter, twitter.com/ecotball. And check out the Start Select Talk podcast by Alex Jones, as well as Controller Throw by Mikey and Benway. Eric, take us away.
Where the heck did he go?
Did he just disappear?
He hasn't said a word.
That would be because my mic is muted.
All right.
That's what happens when your mic
mute button is like just a little button instead of a switch.
Mm-hmm. I hate when it's a button instead of a switch. That's just
because like it just gets hit and then whatever. Yeah. No, I was looking at the unfinished Swan and it makes me wish that damn game was released. But yeah, I don't know. Why do I have to send the show?
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum.
Bum.